This is number 8.
At this point in our discussion, we are looking at the types of formal organization structure. And at this point, we want to begin a discussion on what has been identified as functional organization. The functional organization structure is an attempt by management to provide expert technical supervision to operating employees by providing separate supervisors for each task. This particular approach, this functional organizational structural approach, is based upon the belief that one person will not be able to provide as much expert supervision on the various tasks that an employee would be involved in as would, for example, separate supervisors. This particular idea originally was introduced by Frederick Taylor that we have discussed earlier in our conversations together. Frederick Taylor has been identified as the father of scientific management. Now, you'll notice that the various elements of an employee's job are supervised by various skilled supervisors. And again, this has to do with what is known as functional organization. The workers receive technical advice in the various aspects of their job. In a line organization, one manager would be responsible for all of the elements. In a functional organization, you have several individuals who are involved. Although the functional organization structure provides technical expertise, it does create a major difficulty. Each worker has a number of different supervisors. Even though the areas of supervision certainly are closely defined, at times, as you could imagine, there would be conflict and perhaps even confusion as the supervisors or each of the supervisors, a different number of supervisors, are trying to control various subordinates. It certainly also violates the principle which has been identified as unity of command. Unity of command says, or states, or can be identified as, each person in an organization should take orders from and report to only one other person. Because of these difficulties, the functional structure is not widely implemented. Let's perhaps take this a step further. Again, we're looking at what we have defined as the types of formal organizational structure. We have mentioned the idea of line organization. We have mentioned line and staff organization. We have mentioned functional organization. Now there's another approach known as matrix organization. The matrix organization is a relatively new approach in internal organization. It has received increasing attention in recent years. Sometimes referred to as project organization structure, the matrix organization temporarily groups together specialists from different departments or divisions to work on special projects. When the project is completed, the specialists either return to their central area or they are reassigned to another project. The matrix approach is commonplace, for example, in aerospace companies where several simultaneous projects require the interaction of engineers, research and development scientists, and certainly other specialized people. The various departments in an organization, for example, are permanent parts of the organization. The various project teams are created as the need arises, and then they're disbanded when the project is completed. Well, we look at all of this information, and we certainly have grouped together a lot of information in our discussion time and thinking about these types of formal organizational structure. Perhaps we're faced with this question. Which organizational structure is best? Remember this. Organizational structures are created to achieve the objectives of the organization. Really, there's no one best organizational structure. A small organization can best achieve its objectives perhaps through a line structure. a medium-sized organization would perhaps need the expert advice provided by line and staff organization. A company specializing in custom production, for example, maybe car customizing or band customizing, may select the functional structure, while a company with an environment characterized by numerous projects may even choose the matrix form. Again, you have to reflect on your own setting and your own situation. And you have to determine what type of organizational structure is present now. Then you move forward. How effective has this been in assisting our decision-making and communication? And then you have to ask the question, well, if a change needed to be made, the type of organizational structure, which one could be recommended? And why would we recommend that particular structure? Again, it's vitally important to remember that organizational structures are created to achieve the objectives of the organization. There is no one best structure, but there is a structure that will work and a structure that you have to evaluate in your own setting. This is best for where we are in trying to fulfill the objectives and the goals for which we are in existence. Let's take this a step further. We've talked really up until this point in the idea of creating an organization. We've talked about the types of formal organizational structure. Then there's another approach which has been identified as the informal organization. Management has taken the time to develop the formal organization, departmental structures, decision-making, guidelines, authority relationships, designated managers. But remember this, functioning within the formal organization is really something that management did not design. Or functioning within the formal organization is the informal organization. The informal organization is really a network of personal and social relationships that arise spontaneously as people associate with each other in the work environment. It can be illustrated, for example, by the lunch bunch or the coffee break group or the company bowling team or just two people who meet to talk after work. It's really a self-grouping of people because of shared interest or social and educational backgrounds, perhaps personality, perhaps even shared needs. You realize that the informal organization within the formal organization actually cuts across the formal organizational structure. It's really not even shown on organizational charts. People from different departments and different levels of the organization interact and they find commonalities, they find support, they assist each other, they satisfy needs, they provide information. Membership in an informal group and in the informal organization is really voluntary, and it is determined by the members of the group. Now, managers need to understand and work with and through this informal organization. Well, why do you think that's important? We made the statement, but why is that a valid statement? Why is that an area of concern? Why is it an area of utilization and application? Well, I think probably it should be stated that this informal organization is going to be present in all formal organizations. Managers cannot prevent the informal organization from forming. People naturally interact and develop relationships. It is management's job to recognize and cultivate the informal organization. If approached correctly, it can aid in accomplishing the organization's objectives. It can provide stability. It can support the manager, and it can certainly assist in providing information to members of the organization. Sometimes the communicative system within informal organization has been identified as the grapevine. This system, of course, relies on word-of-mouth communication rather than memos. It certainly can and does move information across well as up and down the organization. Managers, wise managers, effective managers, should identify and use this grapevine. By using this network, managers can supply accurate information to remove rumors and to provide additional information to their employees. Perhaps we could take just a moment as we are seeking to put this together and maybe put this into some kind of perspective. We've talked about the types of organization. We've mentioned line organization, we've mentioned line and staff organization, we've mentioned functional organization, and we've mentioned matrix organization. Perhaps in your mind, if you could picture at this point a three-column chart. In the first column is the name or the type of organization. In the second column would be a list of advantages. And in the third column would be a list of disadvantages. It might even be well and wise at this point in our discussion just to take out a sheet of paper, make yourself a three-column chart. And as we summarize some of these things, you could perhaps jot this down. This would help to visualize in your own mind, crystallize and synthesize some of the things that we have discussed. So if you're looking at, considering, and thinking about that three-column chart, again, your first column, your left-hand column, the type of organization. The first type of organization that we mentioned is the line, L-I-N-E, the line organization. All right? If we move over to the center column and we identify that column as advantages, well, what are the advantages of line organization? Perhaps we could just mention some. One advantage, decisions can be made faster in that strict line organizational structure. And then a second advantage, authority, responsibility, and accountability are clearly placed. And then a third advantage, line organization is simple and sometimes less expensive to create and manage because there are no staff people that are needed. Now, if you move to your last column, first column, we've listed the type of organization, the middle column, the advantages, and now the last column, as you're visualizing or perhaps even jotting down on paper this little three-column chart, what are the disadvantages of line organization? Well, it omits the use of skilled specialists. And also a second disadvantage would be all decisions tend to be made at upper levels, thus burdening top managers with minor details. Okay, again, in your mind or on your little sheet of paper, moving back to the left-hand column type of organization, second type of organization that we discussed is line, L-I-N-E, and staff. All right, what are the advantages of a line and staff type of organization? Certain of these could be listed. One advantage, staff employees provide specialized and technical information to line managers. Certainly that input is valuable. Second advantage, line managers need to be experts on highly technical subjects. And the third advantage, line managers' decisions may be better because of staff input. Then the right-hand column, the disadvantages. What are the disadvantages to line and staff organization? Here are some that are often discussed. First, decisions can be delayed while staff people research problems and develop recommendations. And then a second disadvantage, conflicts arise when some line managers resent staff's influence and expert status. And then another disadvantage in your line staff approach, confusion results if staff and line authority and responsibility are not clear. Another disadvantage, friction develops if staff members attempt to direct the activities of line personnel. And then the third approach or type of organization that we mentioned, we talked about the line organization, line and staff organization, and then there is functional organization. Functional organization, advantages. What are the advantages? Well, it provides expert technical advice to each worker. Another advantage, it limits the technical expertise demands on one manager, again, because several managers are involved. Well, what are the disadvantages of functional approach? Some have said, as far as disadvantages, that it violates the unity of command. And some have said that that conflict may occur between technical experts over supervisory relationships. And then the last type of organization that we mentioned, having talked about line organization, line and staff organization, functional organization, was the matrix organization. What are the advantages of a matrix organization? Well, specialists in several functions can be assigned to various projects that require their expertise. Then, a second advantage, each project has a manager who devotes full time and effort to coordinating its success. And a third advantage, specialists benefit from working on a broad variety of challenging assignments. Well, what about the flip side of the coin? What would be some of the disadvantages of the matrix type of organization? Some of these have been listed. One disadvantage, authority relationships between functional managers and project managers may be unclear. And then a second disadvantage, employees may have difficulty serving two supervisors, the functional manager and the project manager. Another disadvantage, project and functional managers may compete for recognition or status or money. And then another disadvantage, specialists with long-term project assignments may identify more with the project than their functional area, thus distorting their perspective. So again, perhaps maybe that helps just to take this information that we've been discussing and sharing, and maybe just perhaps as we think of that little three-column chart and putting that information there, the type of organization, the advantage, the disadvantage, maybe that will somehow crystallize in our own thinking how these particular approaches or types of organizations would compare one to the other as far as advantages and disadvantages are concerned. Maybe just a moment of summary. We've seen that an organization is a group of two or more people that exist and operate to achieve clearly stated, commonly held objectives. A business, for example, is an organization that's created to provide a product or a service to a customer for the purpose of profit. Now, to reach these objectives, it is necessary to establish a framework of operating relationships between people and activities. This operating framework is known as the formal organization. The formal organization is developed through a series of organizing steps. For example, step number one, we would consider the objectives and the plans. Number two, we determine the activities which are necessary to achieve these objectives and plans. Number three, we classify and group these activities. There may be a functional grouping or a geographical or territorial grouping. There may be a product grouping. There may even be a customer grouping. But in some way, we're going to classify and group these activities. Then number four, we assign work and we delegate the authority for that work. And then number five, we will design a hierarchy of relationships. Now, the result of this process is a formal organizational structure. This structure is usually visualized by an organizational chart. Probably in the organization that you are a part of, probably somewhere, and you may even have it there in your office or in your policy and procedures manual, but somewhere there is a formalized organizational chart of your particular organization. And it identifies some of these very things that we've been discussing these last few minutes. Once the organization is developed, there are organizational concepts to be applied by the managers to assist the organization in achieving its objectives. Now, these concepts would include authority. You remember authority is the right to commit resources are the right to give orders. You also remember in our discussion, we saw that there are three types of authority. There's line authority, there's staff authority, and there's functional authority. And then another concept that would be included, not only authority, but also delegation. Delegation is a passing of formal authority to another person. It involves, for example, assigning a task, delegating authority, exacting responsibility, and then holding a person accountable. Not only is there authority and delegation, but there's also what has been called span, S-P-A-N, span of control. That is the number of subordinates a manager supervises. There's certainly no correct number to be assigned to each manager, but each manager will be involved in some formal span of control. And then there is centralized or decentralized organization. Philosophy of organization that focuses on the selective concentration or centralization or the dispersal decentralization of authority within an organizational structure. The application of this philosophy determines if decision making is in the hands of a few or if it's forced down the organizational structure so that actually many different people are involved in the organizational process. We find that there are four types of formal organizational structures developed by managers. There's line organization, line staff organization, functional organization, and matrix organization. Each has its advantages and its disadvantages. The organizational structure selected by an organization will certainly depend upon many things. It depends upon that organization's objectives. It depends upon that organization's stage of development. And it depends upon that organization's philosophies of management. We also noted that within the formal organization is the informal organization. The informal organization is a network of personal and social relationships that arises spontaneously as people associate with each other in the work environment. Certainly, managers need to recognize and work with the informal organization as it assists managers in meeting organizational objectives. When you think about the informal organization, and a word that we used just a few moments ago was the idea of a grapevine. And this is a place that certainly can it's a place where rumors can spread, but it's also a place that you can use in the idea of rumor control. And certainly the effective manager will be involved in that, and the effective manager will understand the importance of working with the grapevine and using the grapevine in an effective way in his particular organization.